Broadcasting live from the Rudy Luther Toyota Studios here at AM 950, it is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick. Brett and Patrick Cooligan is going to join us a little bit later on. We'll get the latest from the Minnesota Reformer. Your phone calls as well, 952-946-6205. Good to have you with us today. California recall election is going on right now, and we head out to the West Coast. Dustin Gardner is the California politics reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. He is kind enough to join us at the beginning of the show today to talk about the recall election. Dustin, first of all, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, hi Matt. Good to be with you.
It's probably been a busy time for you, so I really do appreciate it. The voting is going on right now, correct?
Yeah. So the polls open this morning. They're going to be open until 8 p.m. here, and we should potentially know a winner by late tonight.
I think it's important for us, for people outside of California, to understand, because obviously California, with its size, with its population, with the amount of corporations, with its GDP, you generally are, a major, bellwether for the rest of the country. But this recall election there's a lot of goofiness that goes into this. Why don't you just give us a little bit of a brief prepper course on what exactly happened here to where Newsom got recalled?
Yeah, so California has a fairly interesting state recall law. This is part of the state constitution, and any governor can be recalled if voters collect about 12% of the signatures from the last race for governor, the number that would equal that amount. And so this all really kind of caught fire during the pandemic. You know, there had been several attempts before to try to recall Newsom, and they really hadn't gone anywhere. But during the pandemic, the governor sort of became the target of kind of a fury from Republicans and just, voters in general who were frustrated over state closures. And that really just kind of gave wind to all of this. And proponents of the recall, they collected about 1.7 million signatures to get this thing on the ballot back in the spring. And now that's finally all coming to a head today. People have been voting for about a month through mail-in ballots, but today's the final day to cast a ballot.
And the quirk here is that if Newsom, he has to basically get 50% plus one, he stays in office. But if he doesn't reach that threshold, he's out. And then is it the next highest vote total getter is the winner?
Yeah, so that really is one of the quirkiest things about our state's recall law. So there are two questions on the ballot. The first question is, do you support the recall of Governor Newsom? The second question is, who should replace him? And so on the first question, the governor has to get a simple majority to keep his office. So, 50% plus one. And if he gets that, then it's all over. And second question doesn't matter. But if he falls on the first question, there are 46 candidates on the second question. And any one of them who gets the most votes becomes the governor. So theoretically, the governor could lose with 49% of the vote. And a candidate could maybe only get about 15% of the vote on question two. And they could be the next governor under those rules.
Okay. And you said this is part of the state constitution. Haven't they tried to fix this? Because that sounds like lunacy.
Yeah. I mean, there have been discussions in the past about changing the recall law, but they really have not. They've not come to the forefront. It wasn't a focus for Democrats. But we're already hearing that once this election is over, there's going to be a very significant push to change this. Legislators at the state capitol in Sacramento, they just ended their session for the year last week. And one of the big things they said as they left the capitol was they're planning to come back early next year and really look seriously at how to change that. And there's a whole discussion of various fixes that could be part of the mix. For example, some have talked about increasing the signature threshold to get a recall on the ballot. There's been discussions about allowing the incumbent to be a candidate on question two on the ballot. So say if the governor were to lose question one and be recalled, he could potentially be recalled and then reelected on question two. There's a whole mix of fixes that are going to be part of the discussion, and I think that'll be a big fight coming up here in the next few months.
Well, and you mentioned, I think it's at 1.4 million signatures is what they got to get the recall put in, correct?
So they had to get about 1.5 million, but they ultimately got about 1.7, so they had a little bit of a cushion.
And, I'll put you on the spot here. I don't know if how much of the percentage of the population of California is that, though? You've got a lot of people out there.
Yeah, so we've got about 40 million residents, a little bit less than 40 million. So it's, you know, 1.7 million, that is a large number, but it's not necessarily a representative sample of the state. Recall organizers, they were very specific in who they targeted, and because they gathered most of these signatures during the pandemic, they were primarily, in many cases, relying on petitions that they were mailing to voters, and they specifically mailed those petitions to voters who were registered Republicans, some registered independents, but almost primarily Republicans. And even though Democrats have, you know, a huge majority in this state, they outnumber Republicans by about 2-1. There's still, you know, a large percentage of Republicans. We still have about 30% of our voters are Republicans, and this really has shown that just with Republicans primarily, you can qualify a recall for the ballot.
Well, and basically, it sounds like just doing the math here, it's like 4%, which is interesting because in Minneapolis, we put the police ballot question on the ballot coming up this November election, and they needed just 20,000 signatures, but that ended up being 6%. So this is actually a pretty low threshold on the signatures as well.
Yeah, and that really has been one of the reform discussions, is whether that should be increased. And it's a lot easier to collect signatures now than it was when this became part of the state constitution. I think this provision in the state constitution dates back to about 1910. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting that percentage of signatures was a lot harder back then. Now, you know, like I said, there's very sophisticated data where political outfits, they can target one segment of registered voters, mail them all a petition. And if they have the money to do it, you know, they probably need about $4 or $5 million, as we've seen this year, to do that. They can get something on the ballot.
Dustin Gardner is joining us right now, the California politics reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. If it does get to Part B of this ballot today, back when Gray was removed from office, they had Arnold Schwarzenegger ready to go, and a larger life character, you know, and he ended up being a you know, not only a viable candidate that term, but of course a fairly liked governor when he was the governor of California, while he was in there. Today, I mean, as you look at the crew that's up, the 40 some candidates that are up for on the second question, give me three or four of the ones that are the only ones that really have a chance here.
Yeah, we've got 46 candidates on the second question, and there just really has not been an Arnold-type figure that has emerged, no one with that kind of broad appeal. The clear front-runner has been Larry Elder. He's a conservative radio show host, basically kind of a Trump-style Republican. He has really kind of surged the front of the pack on question number two. He's been polling at about between 20% and 30% in many of the recent polls. So even though, you know, it's unlikely that Newsom will be recalled in a lot of the polling we've seen, if he is, Elder would most certainly probably be the person who would win on question two. Behind him, there's several other well-known Republicans who just have not had the same level of traction. You have former San Diego Mayor Kevin Faulkner. He's been in there and tried to sort of cast himself as more of a moderate Republican. You've had Caitlyn Jenner, the reality TV star. She jumped in the spring and just never really got any traction. So really, it's kind of become a two-person race between Newsom and Elder in many ways.
And with the Democrats, I mean, obviously, it's an interesting question. Do you run someone as a Democrat in case that Newsom does get recalled? Or is the mentality within the California Democratic Party that, no, we stay loyal to Newsom, we're not even going to entertain this idea? How many Democrats are in that 46-member field?
Yeah, so there are a handful of Democrats in there, but it's really not anyone who's well-known. I mean, there's no major figures that have held public office or that were a household name before. The most popular Democrat on there is a guy named Kevin Paffrath. He's kind of a famous YouTuber who has kind of a niche following. He does real estate investing and offers investing advice on YouTube. But outside of him, there just really isn't anyone who has kind of broad appeal to Democrats.
As far as Newsom goes, I mean, you know, what's the polling in California been saying as far as question one goes? Is it likely that he will not be recalled, and this is kind of just a, you know, more of a nuisance than anything else?
I mean, yeah, as I said a minute ago, I think the polling is pretty clear that the governor has a very strong chance of surviving this. the average of recent polls show him with about a 20% lead going into this, and that's that him losing with the polling being what it is, that would be just highly unlikely. I don't think we've ever seen an election where someone has polled so well ahead and ended up losing. And, you know, many of the polls, they're within that range, and there's just really nothing to suggest that there could be an outlier here. But again, it's not over until it's over. Right. And one factor could be that there are some, you know, new Republican registrations coming in, and Republicans seem to think that they've energized a lot of people who were not typically voters. They didn't typically turn out. So they seem to think that there's still a slight chance.
Well, and as you said, it's over when it's over. Well, not necessarily, not anymore when with the current political climate as we have it here in this country. You've already had kind of preemptive strikes saying anticipating Newsom winning on question one, that the vote was fixed, that it wasn't fair. How much is this just bravado right now, or are you guys anticipating an Arizona type of recall after this to try to basically find a non-existent conspiracy theory in the ballots?
That's an interesting question. I mean, really, something like happened in Arizona, that there's just no way that could happen here. Democrats have a super majority in the state legislature. They would never allow that kind of a so-called recall or election audit to carry on. But we have seen already that Larry Elder, the Republican front runner on question two, he's already saying this thing is rigged. On his website last night, he included a statement that he put up where he's basically said that statistical analyses have determined there's a high level of fraud in the election. He hasn't substantiated or cited any proof for that claim. And we also saw this morning that former President Trump put out a statement saying that the vote was going to be rigged, and Trump didn't even try to, you know, support a candidate or encourage Republicans to turn out. He just said flat out, before any votes have been counted, before people are done voting, this thing is rigged. So I think we are going to see, we're going to see a lot of those claims. I guess the question is, what avenue does it take? Are they just going to make unsubstantiated claims, or are they going to file lawsuits? Is there going to be actually any teeth to this? Elder is collecting affidavits on his website from voters and saying anyone that sees fraud can report it there. But again, we just haven't really seen any evidence, so it's hard to tell at this point if anything serious would materialize from that.
The good news is that if they do go through with this, you might get Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, out there for an extended period of time. And that is a gift that keeps on giving. I will just say that.
Yes, we would be loved to be covering that.
What time do the polls close tonight?
Yeah, so the polls close at 8, and I think we could have a pretty clear sense if the polling is correct and Newsom is as far ahead as it looks like he might be. I think we could have a good sense of the winner by, you know, maybe 10 o'clock our time Pacific. But also, you know, there are a lot of mail-in ballots in this election, and it could take up to 2 to 3 weeks if things are tight for all those to be counted.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll keep an eye on that. I appreciate you joining us today. Dustin Gardner, once again, is the California politics reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle. I really appreciate the time today. All my best. I know it's going to be a late night for you, so thank you very much for the time today.
Thank you.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Spotlight Dustin. It is the Matt McNeil Report. Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.